The Mishnayos continue to talk about the sizes of handles that are attached to the main part of the kli and how much of that handle is considered to be a necessary and useful part of the handle and would therefore have the status of a yad, which is considered an extension of the main kli itself, such that if a source of impurity touches even just the yad, the entire kli will become tome, and likewise, if the main part of the kli becomes tome, the yad will become tome together with it. And the Mishnayos have been listing different kinds of handles in increasing sizes. And the next tool which the Mishnah is going to talk about is actually really two different kalim, which just happen to be on two opposite ends of the same stick. This is a kli that's been mentioned previously in the Masechta. On one end of this long wooden stick was a spade-like blade, which was used when the farmer would follow his animal whilst ploughing in order to chop down any roots which are blocking the way of the plough in order to make the ploughing possible and easier. And on the other end of this long stick was a small pointy piece of metal that was used to prod the animal who was pulling the plough in order to make sure the animal went straight and continued to walk forward so that the field will be ploughed. Now, essentially, these are two different kalim. It happens to be both ends of the stick are used within the process of ploughing, but it's really like two different kalim which are on the two ends of the same stick. So this Mishnah is going to discuss how much of the stick is a necessary handle for the pointy end which is used to prod the animal, and the next Mishnah is going to talk about the other end of this stick as if it's a different kli, and how much of the stick would be considered a yad for that end of this double-edged kli. Shiori hadarvan milamala, the remaining part of the handle of this metal pointy piece which is used for prodding the animal at the end of this long stick is arba'a four tfachim. That is to say, if the stick breaks and you're left with only the end of the stick and this pointy edge, only if the part which remains as part of the stick is at least four tfachim, only then would the pointy darvon be able to become tome at all. And then obviously if the darvon can become tome, the handle will also be able to become tome. But if the handle is any smaller than that, then you're no longer able to use the darvon to prod the animal because the animal is too far away and you need that stick to be able to reach the animal with the prod. So the Mishnah is really telling us two different things. Firstly, that the size of the yad of the darvon, this pointy end, is four tfachim as a maximum, and also it's a minimum. In a case where the stick breaks and there is any less than four tefachim remaining of that stick, then the entire darvon wouldn't be able to become tome at all. Continues the Mishnah now with the regular sizes for yodos, for handles, talking about the maximum specifically, not the minimum. Yad habodid, the handle of a spade which is used for digging irrigation areas for the sake of trees to be watered in order to channel the water through a field. The handle of such a spade is up to arba'a, up to four tefachim. That's how much would be considered an extension of the metal blade of the shovel of the spade itself. Yad akrudoim shel nikush, the handle of an axe which is used to uproot weeds. Others explain we're talking about a hammer which is used to chisel stones. Chamisha, that handle is up to five tefachim. Yad ben apatish, chamisha, the handle of a mini hammer is up to five tefachim. That's how much would be considered an extension of the main kli itself and have the same status with regards to tumah v'shel apatish. And the handle of a regular larger hammer, shisha, is up to six tefachim. Yad akrudoim shel bekua, the handle of an axe which is used for chopping wood, vishal odir, or an axe which is used for digging the ground and making holes in the ground specifically in order to prepare it for being sown and planted. Shisha, it's up to six tefachim, viad makevashal satosin, and the handle of a tool that is used by people who smoothen and cut stones, shisha, is six tefachim long. But anything beyond that would generally not be considered an extension of the kli, so even if the kli becomes tome, any part of the handle beyond that would generally not become tome. Mishnah Ches. Now the Mishnah returns to that kli that was discussed at the beginning of the previous Mishnah, which is a long stick, and on one end is a metal piece used for prodding the animal, and on the other end is a metal blade, which is similar to a shovel, and it's used for cutting down roots which get in the way of ploughing. And once again, the Mishnah is not only going to give the maximum for the size of the yad, but also the minimum. So when giving the minimum, it talks about a case where the stick breaks, and only a part of the stick remains, and there needs to be enough of the stick, enough of this handle, that he's still able to use the shovel to cut down the roots. So shiari charchor melamaton, the remainder of the charchor, the spade-like blade at the bottom of this stick, which is used at the time of ploughing, shiva, is 7 tefachim. If it's any less than 7 tefachim, then the entire kli, not even the blade, is able to become tomei. And likewise, 7 tefachim is also the maximum size of the yad. In general, in a case where the stick hasn't broken, the 7 tefachim of the stick, which are closest to the blade at the bottom, would become tomei together with the blade. So if we imagine, let's say there's a stick which is 15 tefachim long. On one end is this blade used for cutting down the roots, and on the other end is the pointy metal piece which is used for prodding the animals. We split this stick into three different parts. The 7 tefachim, which are nearest to the blade at the bottom, are considered an extension of the blade. The 4 tefachim that are closest to the metal pointy piece at the end, which is used for prodding the animal, that is considered to be an extension of that metal piece. And the other 4 tefachim in the middle, in between those two handles, those two yodos, those wouldn't be considered a yad at all, and that part wouldn't become tomei. So even though this is really just one long stick, it's split into three different parts in terms of the laws of tumah. Continues the Mishnah, yad magrefel shel baal batim, the handle of a shovel that is used by people at home in order to take the ashes out of an oven, or to move the coals in the oven, bishamay say shiva. The yad is any part of the handle which is up to 7 tefachim, the 7 closest tefachim nearest to the actual shovel itself. Basil Arim Shemayna. Basil say that up to 8 tefachim are considered to be useful and necessary for the shovel. Shel Sayodin, the shovel, the tool that is used by people who plaster walls and other structures. Bishamay say Tisha. The yad is up to 9 tefachim. Basil Arim Masora. Basil say that it's up to 10 tefachim. Now, earlier on in the perek, the Mishnah talked about a mishkoiles, a plummet, which essentially is a long string with a metal weight at the bottom of that string, and it's used to check that a wall which is being built is fully straight, because the metal weight would cause the string to be dead straight, and they would lower it down right next to a wall and compare it to the wall. And the Mishnah over there gave different lengths of the string, how much of the string is considered to be a yad of the metal weight. And the Mishnah added that any more than that length, if the owner decided that he wanted to have a much longer string and keep it long, not shorten it to the necessary size, so we say that the part of the string which is not necessary and it's not useful does not become part of the yad, and that part of the string would not become tomei together with the rest of the string and the metal weight. With regards to pretty much the rest of the handles that have been discussed throughout this perek, however, the Mishnah says that Yosem Rikan, any extra length of the handle, im rotza lekayim, if the owner explicitly expressed that he wants to keep that string or that handle longer than is generally used, tomei, then even that longer part will become tomei, and it's also considered to be part of the yad. And the reason is because with regards to most of these handles, a longer handle does help. It's not totally necessary, but it does increase the ease and the handiness of the handle and the kli, and because it does contribute towards the use of the kli, that extended part of the handle would also be considered a yad of the main kli, and it would also become tomei together with the rest of the kli. Some explain that this part of the Mishnah is actually only talking about the shovel that was mentioned in the last couple of examples, but we're going to understand that it really refers to all of the handles that have been mentioned since Mishnah Dalad. Ends off the perek, v'yad misham she'ha'ur, the handle of tools that are used together with fire, for example, a spit, kol shehu, regardless of how long the handle is, it's all considered to be a yad, even without the owner explicitly expressing that he wants all of it to be a yad, because there it's very clear and evident that the longer the handle is, the easier it is to use, and the safer it is, because it's further away from the fire, and it's understood that every extra piece of the length of that handle contributes towards the use of that kli. Perek Lamed Mishnah Aleph, the final perek of the longest Masechtahin Shishal Sidrei Mishnah, and this perek talks about the final material that has not yet been talked about in terms of the laws of Tumah, and that is glass. And glass is unlike most of the other materials that have been talked about until now, because Mida Uraisa, glass cannot become Tomei. It's not one of the materials that the Torah lists in terms of the laws of impurity. However, since glass comes from sand, which is really part of the earth, it's very similar in that sense to earthenware that is made out of clay. And because of its similarity to earthenware, midrabbonon, glass is able to become tomei. Now, because it's tomei midrabbonon, because of its similarity to earthenware, clay zechuchis peshutein tohoirin, with regards to glass kalim, if they are flat and they can't contain things, they haven't got an inside, then they're not able to become tomei. Rather, only omakablehem tomei, and only those glass utensils that are able to hold things can become tomei, just like with regards to earthenware kalim. In addition, just like earthenware cannot be purified in a mikveh, and the only way for it to become pure is if it breaks, so too, glass, nishbru, if it breaks, then toharu, it becomes tohar. It would lose the impurity that it had received. And Chazav Asamim Kalim, if the owner went back and made it into a new glass kli, which can be used once again, Mekavlin Tumah Mekanon L'Haba, it can once again receive Tumah from then onwards. But the original Tumah that it had before it was broken would not return, because that law only applies to metal Kalim, and not to any other kli, and therefore there's no reason why it should apply to glass as well. Now, although the reason why glass becomes tomei midrabbonon is because of its similarity to earthenware, and the law with regards to earthenware kalim is that they can only become tomei from their inside, but not from their outside. Nevertheless, glass utensils can become tomei even from their outside. If a source of impurity touches the outside of the glass kli, it would become tomei, not because it's more strict than earthenware kalim, which can become tomei even midoraisa, according to the Torah, but rather because glass is see-through, it's transparent. And because of that, when a source of impurity touches the outside of the kli, we view it as if it really touched the inside as well. We can't differentiate between the outside and the inside because of its transparent nature. And that's why if a source of impurity touches even the outside of the glass kli, the entire kli would become tomei. And since we already don't differentiate between the inside of the kli and the outside, if a source of impurity enters into the airspace of the inside of the glass, but it doesn't touch the glass, with earthenware utensils, the earthenware would become tomei. However, with regards to glass, since in terms of its outside, it's already not exactly the same as earthenware kalim, and it can become tomei on the outside, we don't now say that it's going to become tomei via its airspace as well, and then this would be even more strict than any other material that can become tomei midoraisa. It will become tomei on its outside and via its airspace. That's already being too stringent with regards to the impurity of glass, and it would end up being even more strict than materials that can become tomei according to the Torah. And because of that, glass can become tomei if the source of impurity touches it, whether on the inside or the outside. But if the source of impurity only touches the airspace of the inside of the glass, without touching the glass itself, then it would not become tomei. It should be noted that there is another opinion that the reason why glass can become tomei midrabbanon is not because of its similarity to earthenware, but rather because of its similarity to metal. And some of the laws that we mentioned just now could very much be dependent on this argument. But we are going to understand, like the conclusion of the Rambam, amongst others, that glass becomes tomei because of its similarity to earthenware. Hatavlo vohis kudlo shel zechuchis, a glass low table or serving dish that has a base at the bottom of it, which is hollow, such that if the dish or this low table would be turned upside down, it would be able to hold things within that container, within the base. However, since that's certainly not its purpose, and it's not used for that, tohirin, it will not be able to become tomei, because the way that the glass kli is used is in such a way that it can't contain things, and glass that cannot contain and hold things cannot become tomei. However, mieshlo en lizbeis, if there is a rim that surrounds the top part of the tray or this dish, so then in the way that it is used already, it can hold and contain things, and therefore tomei, it would be able to become tomei. Now the Mishnah talks about a case where this kli broke, and shulik arava shulis kutlashal zechuches, the remaining base of a bowl or of a serving dish, which is made of glass, shehiskino l'tashmish, that the owner prepared and designated it for use. That is to say, he turned the dish upside down. The dish itself can't be used, it's got jagged edges, it's been cut up. But if it's placed upside down, then the base, which is hollow, can now be used as a container. So if the owner did turn it over and he designated it for such a use, I might think that it should be able to become tomei, but the Mishnah says that's not enough. Tahirin, it is not able to become tomei in that state, because although it's possible to now place things in that base on top, people are very unlikely to do so, and it's not yet fit for use because of the very sharp edges of the main part of the kli, which is now upside down. It's dangerous to handle this kli, it's very easy to get cut, and therefore it's still not considered to be fit for use unless kirtason, he smoothened and cut the jagged edges, a shofon b'shufin, or he rubbed them down with a tool designated for smoothening these sharp edges, then tamein, it would already be fit for use because people wouldn't be afraid of handling the kli because they now know they won't be cut because the edges have been smoothened. Mishnah Beis, aspaklaria, a glass mirror tahira cannot become tomei because it can't hold anything, although we learned earlier on in the Masechta that a metal mirror can become tomei. That's because metal does not require a kli kibbel, the ability to hold things, in order for it to become tomei. However, glass, which is like earthenware and therefore does need the ability to hold and contain things for it to become tomei, therefore a glass mirror cannot become tomei. The tamchoi sha'asoy aspaklaria, but a serving bowl that the owner turned into a mirror. So until now, this was used as a serving bowl. It was made of glass, and certainly it could become tomei because it can hold things. But now the owner designated it specifically for the use of using it as a mirror. He's no longer going to use it as a container. He's only going to use it as a mirror. Tomei, it can still become tomei, even though its designation now is not for the sake of holding and containing things. Because since he didn't do any physical change to that item, it does not lose its ability to become tomei. However, if he originally made that bowl for the sake of using it as a mirror, so then it never received the ability to become tomei, and therefore tohar. Indeed, it wouldn't be able to become tomei since its designation and purpose is not for the sake of holding things. Tarvad shunosa shulchan, a glass spoon that one places on the table. And just like many spoons, when it's placed on the table, it tilts towards the side. So if it would be holding something, then usually it would spill outwards. In Mekabel Kolshehu, if it still holds any amount of that which was placed in the spoon, even when it's tilted, even if the majority of that which was in it spills, tomei, it still can become tomei. Because at the end of the day, it is still able to hold things. V'imlav, but if it's not able to hold anything when it's placed down on the table, in general, there is a rule that something that is not able to hold things by itself, rather it needs the support of something else in order to be able to hold things, that's not considered to be a container and it can't become tomei. However, if the entire purpose and the way that that item is generally used is with the support, for example, a spoon is used when a person picks it up and puts it into his mouth, the purpose of the spoon is not to be able to put the food or the liquid into it and then place it onto the table. It's to transport the food into one's mouth, so the way that it's used is by a person holding onto it. So since in the way that it's supposed to be used, it is able to hold things, it therefore can become tomei. And because of that, Rabbi Akiva says that this spoon can become tomei. However, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri interestingly says that it cannot become tomei. And this is one of the leniencies, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that exists with glass, since glass can only become tomei midrabbanon. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, only something that can hold things by itself can become tomei, but not something which is dependent on someone holding it, even if that is the way that it's supposed to be used.